You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, let's do this thing called the Wake Up Tucson show. We're going to be right off the bat. We got Schweikert calling in about 4 or 5 minutes. So I'm going to do a quick first segment, and then we're going to go long with David and get to the bottom of the hour. Sports intern, we're going to talk about why do the Olympics want to force beach team handball players have to wear bikini bottoms, and the Norwegian ladies are taking a stance going, get a life. Love it. And then the U.S. team, everyone but three of them knelt for the in disrespecting the flag, and they got their butts kicked by the Swedes. So we got a bunch of stuff, and we'll talk. Well, I will let one more papal dispensation that Larson's allowed to talk about the Suns. You know, NBA basketball, and then we don't have to talk about it for a while. Not until next June, maybe. So that'll be good. So we got that, and then it's going to get fun. We have Don and Linda, our friends from the Triangle Tea Ranch, will be here talking about the big garlic festival coming up this weekend and the weather out there. I mean, the weather here is going to be amazing this weekend. It's going to be super terrific amazing out in Dragoon. So we'll talk to them, and then we have there was one more thing I have here. Oh, Matt Russell on the menu will be here in the third hour. Love Matt. We will have lots of fun. And again, thank you for all your RSVPs. They have been amazing. And also your contributions to M-Day on the music. I was just telling Ray on my Facebook page, there's 123 comments asking you guys for, and you guys are getting better. Most of you are doing it right. It took till M.
Halfway through, baby. We're doing it.
And I am receiving your RSVPs. I know some of you want an official response back. I will try to give it to you later tonight, probably, the way my schedule is going. So we're going to go to break. We're going to start with a really good M, Paul McCartney. I believe he was in a band called Wings. I don't know if he was in something before that. But you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Congressman David Schweikert coming up next. 10th Voice. All right, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 of The Voice. We're doing bump music with groups or artists. Last name is M, having a little alphabet summer, and that's been very fun. You guys have been very enthusiastic. 123 responses to the request on that. We're not going to get to all of them, but God bless you. So let's go to the phones. We got to find a trip-hop group that starts with the letter M before it's all over. So Congressman David Schweikert, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing, sir?
You know, it's a little weird here. I'm here in D.C., and I have Miss Olivia here with me.
Yeah, I heard her, so Olivia. I thought you were maybe home, but you're doing child abuse by dragging her to D.C. Good job.
Actually, we had an incident a couple days ago where a number of us who brought our kids, you know, there's been about a 150-year tradition of bringing your children the sort of last week of summer before school starts and those things. But it's been sort of the rules, children under 12 can go on the floor of the house.
But aren't children under 12 super spreaders?
Well, theirs becomes the interesting thing. So according to the Democrat leadership, they went nuts. They basically dragged our kids off the floor. We're very aggressive about it. And it's obviously because of the science that my five-year-old is obviously a vector for COVID, even though the members on the floor are all standing with each other, Democrats too, not wearing masks and are old. But five-year-olds are the problem. And, you know, it's just...
Is there video of that? Say,
oh, yeah, it's on C-SPAN, I think. But you turn and say, okay, I'll follow the rules. Show me where it is in the rules in writing. And they got all upset and ran away and came back 10 minutes later saying, you got to take your kids off. Why? Well, it's not in writing, but it's our feelings. And apparently the speaker, according to the Dems, can just make up any rule she wants at any time. It's this weird dystopian environment back here where the Democrats sort of rule with emotional fiat. And if today they feel that five-year-olds are super spreaders, they yank these kids off the floor. And, you know, So they're not a problem standing in the cloakroom or outside the floor, but if they're on the floor, then it's apocalypse now. So
I remember when baby Olivia used to regurgitate on some of these people.
We have some great stories of that, but we'll save that for a different time. This is less about, Ms. Olivia and our couple of the other members' kids. It's more the left is almost running this government by whatever sort of knee-jerk reaction they have at this moment. And so if you want to know why it feels so sort of dystopian and emotional and hate-filled, it's welcome to the psyche of the Democrats right now.
I know you're our wonk guy on budgets and numbers, but tell me about the drama of this McCarthy, Pelosi, and the January 6th commission thing.
I've had a slightly different view, and the crazy thing is now starting to come into light that lots of other members and reporters and those are starting to agree with me. I believe the way the Democrats have been designing the whole January 6th commission, these things, isn't about the fact-finding, because there's already been bunches of reviews and this and that. We could actually just gather the information, do it that way. I think it's about being able to time it, set it up to go after certain members. So if you look at some of what they're working on, it's, okay, can we take out Kevin McCarthy? The possible next Speaker of the House for the Republicans, we can show that he didn't do something or did something. The way it's being approached is almost a setup to try to take out Republican members of Congress. Instead of sort of investigating, their own failures of, hey, they had all sorts of intelligence or all sorts of information coming. We didn't bring in the National Guard as was requested. And so the stunt of yanking a couple of the more intense, focused members who would have asked questions like, what did you know, Speaker Pelosi? Why didn't you actually, follow through on the request for the additional security, the crowd control, the other things. They just don't want those questions.
Are we doing any sort of investigation on all the Antifa riots across the country?
Oh, God, no.
You
can't do that.
I'm sorry.
And remember, according to the Democrats, those aren't super spreader events. Those are just, and I still want to know who these clown so-called scientists are who signed letters saying, well, the Antifa things are good for society. Is there a handful, is there like a book that you go to or an internet log when you need people who are degreed scientifically but actually have no brain, are so radicalized? It's like science in the public interest. If you actually look at their leadership, these folks are radical leftists. They're not actual researchers.
Well, let me give you a quote out of the Washington Post, which I rarely do. Quote, reconciliation's the exception to the filibuster. Republicans used it in 2017 to pass the GOP tax scam, where 83% of the benefits went to the wealthiest 1% and saddled us with $2 trillion in debt to subsidize the lifestyle of the rich and shameless, unquote. Who said that, David Schweikert?
Well, and that probably Speaker Pelosi. And did you notice the rest of the article saying this is absolutely not accurate?
Yeah, that was the other. That's what got my. So Hakeem Jeffries said that from New York, chair of the Dem caucus.
But they also remember Nancy Pelosi came and debated me on the floor a few months ago and said the same thing. And then I had to pull out the board that shows now even the Washington Post, who hates conservatives, gave it like four Pinocchios. What the Democrats are doing is in their manipulation lie is in the tax reform over a number of years at the end, a number of tax provisions expire. If you do a calculation saying, hey, all these things have expired and what's left, you come up with this weird calculation. That's what they're relying on, but that's not what tax reform did. Tax reform actually was even more progressive than the old system. The really, really, really wealthy are actually paying a higher percentage of federal income taxes today than Absolutely. They did prior to the 2007. And that drives Democrats insane because that doesn't fit their lie.
Yeah, I was
even the Washington Post now has been correcting the Democrats, saying you guys got to stop saying this because it's not true.
Yeah, the headline is the zombie claim that the 2017 tax cut gave 83% to the top 1%. So,
yeah, and I think it's people like myself who have just gone ballistic every time they say it, and we bring out our boards and our statistics and show it, and then we. Forgive me, go at some of the reporters who have on occasion mimicked it and said, you got to go correct your old story, da-da-da-da. Finally, being persistent seems to be now creating some accuracy in the information. And look, the Democrats are back at it again. I'm going to do about a half an hour on the floor tonight, and the purpose is to show that the way they intend to finance this green infrastructure, the money's a fraud. Here's an example. President Trump had this proposal that said, hey, we want to take the rebate from the purchasing of pharmaceuticals that right now goes to bring down the price of the drug. The President Trump's proposal says, hey, we want to take that rebate and just give it directly to the consumer. The ultimate value turns out to be the same, but buyers of the drugs will actually see the money right at the register then instead on the lower drug price. Democrats hated this idea because they want to control the money. So it was never going to go into effect. It's about $177 billion over 10 years. So something that was never going to go into effect, the Democrats are turning and saying, hey, we're going to take that $177 billion and pretend it was real money and use that to finance infrastructure, even though it's completely pretend fake money on a piece of paper for a proposal that was never going to go into effect, that if we cancel something that was never going to go into effect, we get to take the $177 billion and spend it on green infrastructure. And this is the scam. And you keep trying to explain to people why Washington finances are a scam. It's complex and it's really devious.
The sales job down here by some of our local special Dem elected officials, and you saw it with Gallego up there, right? They want more Amtrak between Tucson and Phoenix, right? And I'm sitting there going, there's not enough density, especially on our side of the that makes any sense that we're gonna as Amtrak. I assume they're gonna out of this infrastructure deal. Are they gonna just get flooded with money when this is over?
Yeah. And there's some really fun data that heavy rail and things of that nature actually aren't environmentally friendly, as the left tries to say that the running of that type of train, unless you have lots and lots and lots of ridership. So, like the California high-speed rail, that's going to be almost $100 billion. Unless it's carrying 10 million people a year, this is outside the dollars. It's an environmental sinkhole unless it carries 10 million people a year. Well, it's never going to get near 10 million people a year. And so, when people on the left start, you know, talking about rail and its environmental goodness, they're lying to you. But feelings over facts in this place.
Well, our mayor's feelings over facts while the whole place falls apart in Tucson. And she was, of course, thought this was the greatest thing. And she went to she works for the Center for Biological Diversity. So why not?
Look, Tucson, this is what you elected. But
correct.
Believe it or not, the math on like Phoenix's light rail is it actually makes air quality worse because you force so many vehicles to sit and idle as the train goes by.
And you're not getting enough people out of their cars to make the environmental argument work.
No, the ridership, you would have been much better creating an expansion of, hey, here's HOV lanes if you're driving an alternative fuel vehicle, or do this or that. But if you look at, for some reason, the left loved this idea of getting other people to collectively pack into a train car so they can sit in their, Lexa or maybe even Tesla and have less traffic to worry about.
All right, let's get a call in for David, 790-2040. Let's go to Chris. Chris, you're on with David. What's up, buddy?
Hey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chris.
Sorry, I had you on speaker.
What do you got for the congressman today?
Well, first, I thank you for affording me the luxury of actually getting to ask a question of a congressman, which is pretty unique. But I was just curious.
It's not that unique. It's not that big a deal.
It is to me, congressman. But I got to put you on the spot a little bit here.
It's like half of
I got to put you on the spot. Are you guys ever going to pass the budget again?
Oh, probably not.
Why not?
Because it would require telling the public.
Let him answer.
It would require telling the public the truth about the math. So, understand, there's a difference between a budget and appropriation. This is the crazy thing. See, you pass a budget, and by passing the budget, you create the spending box. And then the appropriation bills are supposed to go into that box. So they're different things. So when you talk about continuing resolutions, that's because appropriation bills aren't passing. So you basically say, let's spend next month what we spent last month. The budget box is the scam that if you put so much tax, so much spending into this box and say, this is our goal for next year. The Democrats are going to deem numbers, just make up numbers, put out so they can do the reconciliation in the Senate, meaning they can do a bill and not have to deal with a filibuster, go through with 50 votes. So it's one of the first things you have to get your head around is the budget of Congress isn't the same thing as the appropriations. The budget is just used to create sort of the allocation box for all the different appropriations bills. And they don't want to tell the public how messed up the math really is. So you just deem these numbers. And it's a complete fraud. The process is a fraud.
Chris, thanks for the call, man. Dave, if the Republicans get the House and the Senate next year, which we pray, will we have a budget then?
I actually think we will, but the harder part is, will it be a budget that actually steps up and does big boy truth to the voting public out there and said, look, here's our problem. Here's our tax revenues. Here's our spending obligations. And oh, by the way, the spending obligations that are exploding are because of our demographics. We're getting old very quickly as a society, as a country. And those we made promises for Social Security. We made promises for Medicare. And those are what's going to drive the debt and the imbalance. The rest of the budget actually is pretty close to being in balance.
I can't wait till years from now and Livia gets to tell her kids that she was kicked off the House floor for being a super spreader.
Oh, and they were absolute jerks about it. It's just... once again, at least that we know the Democrats are the party of science, right? Of course, it's whatever the science they feel today is.
You got to get one of your staffers to get that clip up off of C-SPAN, man. I think America needs to see that.
Well, the problem is all you see is me being surrounded by Nancy Pelosi's goons, and you can't actually hear it.
I still want to see you surrounded by goons. That's amazing.
All right.
Have a good day.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Now. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert, surrounded by goons. Larson's coming up next. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. All right. Sugar Ray's in for ESQ today. ESQ will return soon. He's on a little vacation, so The Sugar Ray's filling in. He's a little Motorhead at 6:35 in the morning. That'll wake you up a little bit.
There you go, baby.
Let's go to Ryan Larson, who was, when he was born, Motorhead had been out for 60 years. So, Ryan, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
Not too shabby. Ray and I were just talking about the stupidity that's the Olympics in the off time.
Which part?
Well, let's go right for the heart of the matter. Why we have women wearing stuff that's too revealing, or they're forcing them to wear stuff that's too revealing. We got the Norwegian. I didn't even know they had team handball's interesting in the first place, but now we have beach team handball that they just like to wear bike shorts instead of bikinis with their butt cheeks hanging out, and that's a problem. But then we have a Paralympic runner from England who got berated because her bottom was too revealing. This is why we don't give a damn about the Olympics more and more. Give us the brief bottom update, sir.
There are a lot of problems with the Olympics going on right now. You mentioned the issue with we'll call it modesty that's going around with the Olympics.
I knew you would say it in a more classier way than the brief bottom update. So
the brief bottom update, they have that going on. The guy in charge of the opening ceremonies, the director, just was forced to step down last night.
Oh, why I didn't hear that one? What happened to him?
He's a comedian. He's a Japanese comedian. And he made a Holocaust joke in his act back in 1998. And so they're forcing him to step down tonight or tomorrow night for the opening ceremony. So that's another issue that they're facing. And then there are all the issues now with athletes testing positive for COVID. We don't have any fans in most of the events. Tokyo is probably going to lose north of $10 billion on the Olympics just from hosting this year. And there have just been so many disasters with the Olympics going, just leading up to it. It's gonna be fun to watch the events, but overall it's going to be an absolute disaster in the grand scheme of things. And Tokyo has just been plagued by scandal as well. You can't forget that Japan is now under investigation for bribing Olympic Committee officials in order to get the Olympics there in the first place, and now they're going to lose even more money just by hosting it without any fans or spectators, and the scandals that continue to plague seemingly everything with the Olympics at this point. It's been terrible.
I was having dinner with the girls last night. We're up at It's Greek to Me in Catalina. They're killing it. Tuesday through Saturday, 3-7. But I will tell you that I said to him, I'm almost done with the Olympics. I looked up on YouTube. Thank God some psycho put up all the 1970s Battle of the Network Stars. I think I'm going to watch that instead of the Olympics this year. For God's sakes, Ryan, you just made me Google opening ceremony comedian, for God's sakes.
Yeah, it's been really bad. I mean, there will still be some fun events to look forward to, but in general, I think enthusiasm for the Olympics is going to be at an all-time low, especially in the United States, but across the world. And that is going to have some repercussions throughout the world, throughout many sports businesses, and hopefully it'll lead to some reevaluation of the Olympic model in general. Japan estimated that the Olympics is going to cost them about $16.7 billion to host, and about $10 billion of that is public money. So the people of Tokyo and Japan in general have paid $10 billion for this to happen. It's been an absolute disaster, and it's going to be a major money waster. So the Olympics in general needs to be reevaluated for what it's worth, and hopefully we can find a better process for doing all this so that countries don't have to bankrupt themselves and people don't have to pay massive amounts in taxes just to host a couple of sporting events that only a few people are going to watch at this point.
Mark Van Buren and I were talking about this yesterday. What does the Olympics turn into? What should it really be, right? And we were kind of talking about is kind of what it should be in the first place, right? Is some of these track and field, swimming, all these other ones on the side, just forget about it. The soccers, the softballs, the beach team handball, just keep it tight, move it around that everyone doesn't have to. I mean, look at Brazil between what they built for the Olympics and the World Cup. They have entire stadiums getting taken back by the jungle, for God's sakes, right now.
You're telling me you're not excited to watch sport climbing this year, Chris?
Hold your horses. What the heck does that mean?
I'm pretty sure it's just rock climbing, but they're calling it sport climbing instead, and somehow they're making it a competition. You're telling me that's not at the top of your viewing list?
Oh, my God. That is...
What about synchronized swimming? Where do you fall on that?
It isn't a pool. See, my thing is that I want things that, you know, in the end, if you're going to move the games around, right, keep it tight that there's certain sports that you know the city already has the infrastructure, right? And just move on with your life. And if the city doesn't have the infrastructure to do something, there's no more, we're not going to be the cause of you building a whole bunch of stuff anymore because it turns out to be just a giant joke.
That's the ideal scenario. The Olympic Committee demands basically new facilities for everything, and every 4 years there seems to be a new country that convinces themselves that the tourism money or the exposure to their country is worth more than the usually $10 to $20 billion that you're spending on the Olympics. But it just keeps getting proven over and over. It's not a good investment. And the Olympic Committee needs to change and just start using existing facilities rather than demanding this crazy spectacle so that Brazil can have 30 empty stadiums by the end of it.
So I'm looking at the new the new sports at the Tokyo Games. So sport climbing. Thank God skateboarding, right? We got to have skateboarding. What was the other one?
Tony Hawk's still a thing?
Tony Hawk is still a thing. He's still, at age 67, he's still going to be doing some ollies. I think that's what they call them. And then, what was the other one? Oh, BMX freestyle. Is this the girl that turned into a dude who says if she wins this, I don't know what her preferred pronoun is. She's going to burn the American flag on the podium. Is that one? The BMX freestyle?
I honestly could not tell you. I have to Google BMX freestyle to figure out what exactly, how that's different from other biking events.
Now here's another one. This to tell you how pathetic the Olympics are. They added men's and women's 3-on-3 basketball. Get the hell out of here.
Regular basketball is not enough. We got to have 3-on-3. Hey, but at least baseball and softball are back. Everyone's going to watch that.
3-on-3 basketball, that's what old guys like me play. Come on.
That's what you play on three on three when you don't have enough friends to form a 5-on-5 team.
Or you don't want to run full court. Tell me about the U.S. women's soccer team.
Continuing the good Olympic news, the U.S. women's soccer team got destroyed 3-0 to Sweden to open up their Olympics debut. So if you're unaware, for the Olympics, the opening ceremony is tomorrow night. That's kind of when it officially starts. But for some of the longer events where they play a lot of games, like soccer, they start playing games a couple of days before the Olympics starts. And so the women's soccer team had their first match, lost 3-0. So they're basically in do-or-die setting right now for the rest of the Olympics. Now, in 2008, the women's team lost their opening match as well, and they went on to win the gold. So it's not necessarily a nail in the coffin for the women's soccer team, but if they lose any more games, they're probably going to be out in the group stage. And then, of course, you have to be perfect once you get to the knockout stage. So just a lot of extra pressure on the women's team. If they lose and get eliminated in the group stage, when you're the best soccer team in the world on the women's side by a large margin, it would be pretty embarrassing for that to happen to the U.S. So hopefully they can turn it around, actually start winning games. But they are already in a bad position going forward, so we'll see what happens there.
You'll see a lot of your brothers and sisters on social media on the right side talk about the entire team knelt in disrespect at the national anthem. That is untrue. Three of them did stand with their hand on their heart, and that's Carly Lloyd, Julie Ertz, and Ms. Horan. So there were three American women that did stand with their hands on their hearts for the national anthem.
We still got three.
You are correct. So we got that going for them. Now, I said earlier we're going to have a dispensation on on basketball one more time. Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns. I know that the Suns fans are in shock because they lost four games in a row to lose this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But where are we at here? How did the season go? It feels like for my buddies in Phoenix who are actually Suns fans, this definitely was a great bandwagon. The bandwagoners came out of nowhere on this one.
Oh, yeah, it was a great bandwagoning season. The Suns outperformed expectations significantly going into the season. Part of the change was they got Chris Paul. We've talked about him a little bit. He's one of the best point guards of all time. Phoenix trades for him in the offseason, and he comes in, and he elevates what's a really young team that had some interesting players like Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and he was able to turn it into a championship-contending team. The Suns got the 2 seed this year in the West in what's a really difficult conference. They make it through the Western Conference playoffs to make it to the finals, and they're up 2-0 on the Bucks. And it looks like the Suns are probably going to pull off a sweep, and then they go back to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee has Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, if he's not the best player in the league, if you want to go with Kevin Durant or LeBron, that's fine, but he's definitely a top 3 player in the entire league. And Giannis just turned it on and gave us one of the greatest finals performances that we've seen from a player in a long time, certainly up there with anything that LeBron James has done in the last 20 years, or Steph Curry, something like that. And Giannis, in this game 6 the other night, for the Bucks, he scores 50 points, and he has over 10 rebounds and 5 blocks. And at that point, there was just nothing the Suns could do to stop him. And it's a great season for the Suns. Going to the finals, losing in 6 games, when you haven't made the playoffs in 10 years, that's something to be very proud of, and that's why there are a lot of bandwagon fans coming out.
Sure.
But it also feels like this was the best chance that the Suns are going to have in a long time to win the finals, because Chris Paul's only going to be another year older. He's probably going to have to be re-signed for a huge contract. And the West just saw a bunch of players get injured. You saw Anthony Davis go out in the Lakers series for the Suns. You saw Jamal Murray get hurt for the Nuggets. Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers. Every team the Suns played, there was a significant injury. And that's nothing to take away from what the Suns did. They don't have to apologize for being the healthiest team. But it feels like this was a great chance that they had, and they ultimately couldn't close it because they ran into a historically great player having a historically great performance in the finals. And that's rough for the Suns, a great season, but they might be able to run it back. They'll be contenders again next year. Will they make the finals? Probably not. So it's kind of a downer look to the season, but overall it was a great season, a historic season for the franchise.
All right, I got 2 football questions. I'm going to let you go. When do camps start opening for NFL?
So training camps for 2 teams, the Cowboys and the Steelers, opened on the 21st, so yesterday.
Wow.
And then for most, that's because they're playing in the Hall of Fame game, so they have the earliest preseason game. And then for most other teams, all but the Bucks, training camp opens on the 27th, which is Tuesday. So
nice.
It's football season now, Chris.
Beautiful. And then in a nutshell, tell me about this whole thing with this. What is the reality of now that the Supreme Court said that these college players can be making money off of names and likenesses? Bill sent me something about the guy at Alabama's like killing it right now on on money.
Right.
Where what's the reality of that?
So the Supreme Court didn't rule on name, image, and likeness. The NCAA just looked at all the states passing these laws that players
profit
off of their image and said, you know what, screw it. We're just getting rid of our rule against it, and you can all do what you want. And so since then, players have made a ton of money. You're referencing the Alabama quarterback, Bryce Young, who notably hasn't played any games yet. He's just a freshman. But Nick Saban estimated that he's going to make close to $1 million this year just on sponsorships, speaking engagements, stuff like that. And there's a lot of other players who will make in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like in Miami, there is a booster trying to pay every player at least $5,000, and their quarterback is making, already has sponsorship deals worth over $20,000. So these players, all they're able to profit off is their name, image, and likeness. So they can do sponsorships, stuff like that, but they can't get paid to go to a school still.
Gotcha.
And so that's where we're at, and they're making millions. There's going to be millions of dollars getting thrown around this year. It should be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, again, you have, why not? We have basically bureaucrats who use these young men to make zillions of dollars for programs so we can have lots of bureaucrats making 6-figure salaries. So why not?
Exactly. Yeah, let them get paid. Let them get sponsorships. It's not hurting their ability to do school or anything. It's not against any laws. So just go out there, get these kids paid if people want to pay them.
I mean, here in Tucson, the University of Arizona president makes $1 million a year. Right. And, you know, and they want to make it seem like, you know, we're all about the purity of the educational process. Kiss my rear. That's life. That's where we're at.
Exactly.
Well,
they're just using these kids to build bigger buildings and stuff.
I can't wait to see what dumb things the Olympics does in 7 days by the time I talk to you in a week. So
I'm sure we should have plenty of fresh new disasters to talk about.
The fresh new disasters segment of the 2020 Olympics. So, sir, have an amazing day and a good weekend, all right?
You too, Chris. Thanks.
Brian Larson, best sports intern in America. All right. Now we got a few things. We'll try to do a little fun things in this segment. Then we got bottom of next hour. I got Don and Linda coming in from the Triangle Tea Guest Ranch, friends of the show. They got their big garlic fest going on this weekend. Wake up. All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. It's our little segment where we do some holidays and stuff. Remember, RSVP for the party coming up on July 31st. You guys are doing a good job. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. It is required, or I'm going to have Sugar Ray toss you right out on the streets, right on the Tindle.
You don't want that to happen.
As Keanu said in The Matrix, he knows Kung Fu. One of the things, I do this every so many years on the old Wastebook, and we'd love your calls on this too. It's, let's see, where are we at right now? We're at a good number. So I put it up yesterday. I'm at 122 comments. This one really got people going. What are some of your least favorite platitudes, buzzwords, or trite sayings? And you guys went to freaking town on this one. Give us a call. What are the ones you hear it from, you know, idiots like radio show hosts like me, politicians, you're in meetings. Here we go. My buddy Rich, former federal marshal. It is what it is, right? We're sick of that one. Me and Rocco can't stand people who keep saying my bad. My bad, bro. let's see. I asked, is anyone still using thinking outside of the box? That one's pretty beaten. The people who say it now are the ones who usually never think outside of the box.
How about just a buddy of mine hates got anything? You know, the got anything? It worked for one campaign. You know.
The sock puppet, as we call her, Jen Psaki. The Psaki puppet. Circle back. We're done with that. We're done with loop me in. Sorry, Zach. Tipping point came up a couple of times. And pivot. What else do we got here? At the end of the day was mentioned various times. unprecedented. That is unprecedented. That's from John. That is so beaten to death. Especially in this last year of COVID and all the stuff that went on. This is unprecedented. Chris Lindbergh, I despise efforting and adulting.
efforting's a media term.
That's true. Let's see. Well, Kevin Pierce, I need to pivot on this, circle back, and follow the science. Nice. People are sick of the new normal. This is one I wasn't. Listener John said he hates hubby when people refer to their husband as hubby. This one's perfect. Lindy, you know, from Lindy's the chef. He has his new Thunderburger place opening up on 4th soon. His one is I'm vegan.
Oh yeah.
And then Kenny from Sonoran Brunch, we're out of bacon. And then Dave from Boulevard, who's coming on tomorrow for Boulevard Barbecue. He says when people say the word, when you see the phrase on a package, vegetarian bacon. So Kent from the Sausage Shop turn away from the radio. So we got more of those to come. Today is, National Rat Catchers Day, celebrated in Baltimore. Hammock Day, Mango Day, and then Pi, as in 3.14 and all those numbers, Approximation Day. Back to Mango at Tuk Tuk Thai, the one on Campbell or the one up in the OV, they have this amazing sticky rice dessert. It's like a rice pudding cake with fresh chopped mango on it. It's a winner. Make it part of your day. All right. When we come back, I'm going to do all the new stuff we're going to shove in 30 minutes, and then I'm going to talk food the rest of the show. Thank God. Wake up.